When the economy is rough, your job feels shaky, a really smart question to be asking is, how much do I need in savings to really feel safe? And that is exactly the question from today's mailbag. And look, we've all heard rules of thumb, like a couple of months of expenses, but is that really enough? Especially if your job is on the line. Should you aim for more? Or what about the flip side? Is it possible to go too far, leave too much of your money sitting in the bank, rather than being put to work elsewhere? All great questions, so let's get them answered. Welcome to Ask the Experts, where we talk to people in the industry to get your questions answered. Each week, talking about what you need to know.
Making Sense is proudly supported by Heartland Bank, a New Zealand bank here to help you make the most of your money.
And today's expert is Will White from Heartland Bank. Welcome, Will. Are you ready for the letter?
I am. Let's go.
All right. Hi, Francis. I'm wondering how much I should actually have in savings. The economy feels pretty bleep right now. And honestly, my industry isn't the most stable to begin with. I'm doing what I can to stay in the boss's good books, but who knows these days? If it all goes wrong and I lose my job, how much should I have put aside to keep me afloat? Can you ever go too far? Like, is there a point where having too much in savings is a bad thing? I've stopped investing for now because I really want to beef up my savings, but I don't want to miss out more than I have to. What's the best type of account to keep it in? Thanks. You know, quite a short letter. We've got a lot happening there. So a rule of thumb for a savings buffer, is there one? How much should people have, especially if they're feeling a bit shaky and uncertain?
Yeah, it's a good question. I reflect back on, you know, when I was a young adult as opposed to now, you were always told that you probably needed a couple of months worth of your salary in reserve for a rainy day fund. I think that's probably still accurate. Only you will know your personal circumstances, your expenses, your commitments, and it probably makes sense to have that in reserve for at least a couple of months. But again, you need to consider, do you have children or any other commitments that you need to make sure that you can cover? Are you single? Are you partnered? All of these things are going to play into what a rainy day reserve fund might need to look like.
And it's tricky that, isn't it? Because as you say, the personal circumstances and how many commitments you have, you know, if you have certain debt payments that you have to keep up with, if you have kids that you have to keep feeding, I hear it's very frowned upon to not keep feeding them. So if you've got these extra commitments that are going on, it can be really tricky versus if you're younger, maybe a bit more footloose, fancy free, renting, then maybe you might not have as much, but you might not need as much, right? So you're going to have to start off by going through that budget and establishing what do you actually have to pay if it all goes wrong, right?
Yeah, and budgets by the nature of them are very unsexy, right? So people don't want to sit down and do a budget. It's time consuming and it's actually quite confronting because you will work out, I am spending $150 a fortnight on Uber Eats or DoorDash and I do have a whole load of buy now, pay later commitments that are coming out and I don't notice them because they're, you know, $10, $12, $14. But actually, by the time you add all of that up, you'll be quite concerned about how much money you're spending on things that could be considered frivolous or, you know, non-urgent. And then as you start to build out your savings plan, you'll find out, well, maybe I can actually put away a bit more than I initially thought because there are areas of my spending that I could actually make a conscious effort to reduce.
Yeah. If someone is worried about job security, like this letter writer, they're seeing a little bit of writing on the wall. It hasn't come to pass yet, but feeling not good. Do you think that changes the calculations at all? Does that mean you should have more put aside or is it the same rule of thumb?
I think, again, it's a deeply personal choice. Only you know how at risk you think potentially your ongoing employment is and only you know what you might be able to do as a result of something happening. So if you're in a very specialized industry, for example, and you know that if you do lose your role, you're going to be out of work for a long period of time, then of course that needs to change your approach to how you're going to be saving. But if you're in hospo, for example, and you know you're going to pick up a job relatively easily, you might be out of work for a few weeks, then of course you can build that into your savings plan. But I still go back to that couple of month buffer as a minimum is probably where you want to start. The more specialized your role or the more commitments you have, the more money you're going to need to have in reserve.
That's so funny that you mentioned that because that's That's literally a conversation I was having on the weekend where I was talking to someone whose friend had left a job and then was just sort of casting around for something new. And I was like, oh, Lord, you know, me in the media world looking at that and saying, oh, are they okay? My word, there's nothing around at the moment. They're chefs.
Yep.
And she was like, it's fine. There's always work for chefs.
Yeah, no issue here. Yeah.
Look, if someone is looking to build up their savings, this person has mentioned they're worried about maybe having too much in savings, because we do go on about the Goldilocks zone and you want to put your money to work and you want to have investments, but investments are long-term money. So it's hard balancing that, right? Can you have too much in savings, do you think?
I think you can. I think, again, it depends on your life stage and what you want to achieve. But diversification is always important. You don't want everything in cash. You don't want everything in investments. Obviously, there's good debt and bad debt. So an example of good debt would be a home loan that you're paying off every month, and at the end, you're going to own an asset. Bad debt would be credit card debt. So my strong advice would be, if you're carrying a credit card balance at 15, 18, 20% interest, it makes no sense to pat yourself on the back because you've got savings that are earning you, you know, 2.75%. Much better off to clear that debt. But again, you need a balance. Credit cards are good for short-term solutions and can get people out of a jam. So they absolutely have their place. I personally use credit cards for everything, but I can pay my balance off every month. I make sure I never pay interest on the cards. The minute you're paying interest, you need to factor that into your savings story. So you probably want to still be putting some money away into that rainy day fund, but you want to be looking at your other commitments, particularly ones where you're paying interest, and try and balance it out between the two.
Making Sense is proudly supported by Heartland Bank. If you want your savings to work harder, Heartland Bank is a great place to stash your cash. They've been helping New Zealanders with their money for 150 years, and have won Canstar's Bank of the Year Savings Award 8 years in a row. Canstar says the winning streak is down to having some of the highest bank interest rates in the market across regular and flexible savings accounts, plus term deposits. Heartland Bank's full terms and conditions are available at heartland.co.nz.
If this person, you know, we're saying a couple of months of your salary in a savings account, that could be quite a bit. So if they're wanting to put that somewhere where your cash savings are always you're not going to get as much on savings as you would in the share market. But the share market goes up and down. The cash savings should stay there pretty safe and sound. So it's always that cost-benefit analysis. So if you're saying, okay, this money has to stay safe, it is my money I can draw on in a moment's notice, but I still want to get the most I can, what are some good places to be putting it?
Well, cash, obviously, you can access straight away. So the issue with some other kind of non-liquid investments is if you end up having to do a fire sale because you find yourself out of work all of a sudden, and for whatever reason, you know, the share market's not doing particularly well that day or that week, you end up potentially taking paper losses. Whereas cash, it's boring, but it does what it says on the tin. It's there, it grows, and you can access it straight away. My recommendation would be, keep your savings, your rainy day savings, at a different bank to the bank that you have your everyday relationship with. So a great way to look at high interest earning accounts would be to go to one of the comparison sites. You can see who's offering what. Plug for Heartland, Canstar Savings Bank of the Year 8 years in a row. Just put that out there.
It's not bad.
Heartland.co.nz. So really build a relationship with someone that is completely independent of your bank. Go after the return, because that is why you are putting money into a product that is not with your main bank. So go somewhere that's going to get you a decent return. And then also consider, okay, do I need all of my money to be at call? Do I need to access it immediately? Or does it make sense to have a mix and have a term deposit for 6, 9, 12 months that is probably going to earn me slightly more interest than an at-call account? But by the nature of it, the clue's in the name, it's a term, you can't break it, you'll be penalized if you do. So making sure that you, I have a bit on hand I can access, I have a bit that I can put into a term deposit. And to the point you made at the top of the question around, you know, a couple of months salary could be a big deal. It absolutely could, which is why the best day to start doing this was yesterday. The second best is today. So sit down, work out the numbers, and then put a plan into place. And if you're not sure, go and talk to a couple of the banks. They have people that do this all day, every day, and they can help you work out what would be best for you.
100%. And I love what you're saying there about you can have a little mix, because I often talk about the money timeline, where if you're wanting money on hand very easily, then you are going to earn the least on it. The longer you can leave it, the more you're going to earn on it is the general rule of thumb. So if it's right there and you can get it today, you are going to need something for that, because your car could go ping, or your dog throws up at midnight and you have to go to the after hour vets, whatever, whatever, whatever. You do need some stuff on hand right there. But if you can also have some of the, this is for soon money, but if I do lose my job, I can make this on hand stuff last quite a while. And then I've got my little stash in a 6 month term deposit that I can wait, and if then the job situation keeps going, or I can access that when it's ready. You know, you're just sort of stacking your options, right? What about things like, because I've had several people send through emails on this, so I'll just pull them in while we're at it. The idea of the offset or revolving mortgage as a savings account, does that work?
It does, but you need to be incredibly disciplined, because every time you log into your bank's mobile app, you not only are going to see your debt, but you're also going to see all this money that you've got sitting in a transaction account. So if we look at the return, assuming that you're on a floating mortgage rate, it would make sense to put your money into an offset and have it offset the mortgage, because that's always going to work out better for you than even probably the highest paying savings accounts. But you have to be incredibly disciplined. And history tells us that when we're seeing something every day and we find ourselves in a bit of a bind, or we're having a bit of a bad day and we want to perk ourselves up, if we see that money, we're probably going to access it.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's a relationship with a completely separate bank, you may well download the mobile app in order to open and manage the product, but you can even remove that app from your home screen. When we talk about out of sight, out of mind, that is absolutely the way to do it. So my advice there would be, if you know you're not very disciplined, even if that return is potentially better by offsetting, if you're not going to get the benefit because you're going to end up spending the money, it's not a solution for you.
It's funny that you mentioned the app, because I do. I have two banks that I go between, and the secondary one, which we use as the stash accounts, that keeps getting offloaded from my phone to save space. Anytime I go to check on it, I have to re-download from the cloud the app to get into there. It does actually really work, the out of sight, out of mind thing, doesn't it?
It does. And many banks now even offer you the opportunity to hide some accounts actually in the app. So even if for whatever reason you have to keep your relationship with your main bank for your kind of rainy day savings, hide the account. Again, if you can't see it, you're more likely to forget about it and let it
down the bottom of the app.
Correct. Let it sit there and compound like it's meant to, rather than spending it.
Yeah, I love it. We've mentioned a couple of times that it can be a bit of a daunting target, a couple of months of salary. I mean, I cannot remember the actual number, so this is just totally off the top of my head, but there's some scary percentage. It's the majority of New Zealanders who don't have $1,000 in savings, which does freak me out a bit on their behalf. Then again, I understand life is expensive, life is hard, and it's easy to say, I'll do that next time because this time I've got bills, and then next time you've got bills again. So if someone is feeling a bit freaked out and knowing actually now is the time I really have to get my money on lock because things might get a bit messy, how do you make a savings goal like this feel a bit more achievable? Do we have any mindset tricks?
I think first of all, you have to break it down, right? Mm-hmm. So you're absolutely right. If you suddenly start thinking about your fortnightly or your monthly take home pay, and you just look at that as a number on a piece of paper, that's going to feel very, very hard to break down. If you actually look at that from a week to week point of view and go, okay, how much do I need to save per week? Then you go and look back at your budget and go, okay, where can I make some savings? If you break it down into bite-sized chunks like that, you'll find quite quickly, actually, there is a pathway, and it might not be 100%. You might end up going, okay, I can get to 50% of that number or 60% of that number, but that's got to be better than zero, which is what's happening right now. So once you understand what disposable income you might have right now whilst you're employed, make a commitment to put that away straight away. And then, I'm going to sound boring, but back to the budget again. What disposable purchases am I doing that I can pull back on and how much cash flow is that going to release for me? How much of that do I think I can put away? And all of a sudden, for a lot of people, you're going to be relatively close to that weekly savings goal that you've set yourself. And then as you keep doing that, obviously each month you're going to get paid interest. So that's going to help as well. That's compounding. So the longer you start saving, the more that you're going to earn. Again, make sure you're going after a high yield product that is going to pay you a good rate of return and stick to it.
Yes, it's the old thing of the little actions over time, the way forward. And I also think what you were saying before about it's better than the zero that you've been doing. And even if you look at that budget and you're like, this isn't going to get me there as soon as I want to, I'm worried I'm going to lose my job now. Any forwards progress is still progress.
Absolutely.
And I think take the wins you can do, right?
Some kind of plan is better than no plan. So, to reemphasize again, budget, work out how much you need to save and start saving. Even if it's $10 a week, if that's all you can spare, do that because it is better than zero.
100%. And I've got to say, as someone, as a former money mess myself, I have in the past been so guilty of putting off things that were freaking me out. And every time when I finally sat down to take a good hard look at it, even if it wasn't what I wanted to see, it still felt better to have a good look at it. So I think that's really solid advice. Thank you so much, Will White from Heartland Bank. Now, if you have more questions, we've been ripping through them on Ask the Experts. Send in yours and let's get an expert opinion on it. So ask@franciscook.co.nz. I'll get that into the show notes as well. So you don't even have to worry about spelling it. Until next time, have a great day.
Just a note before you go, this podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most cases. It's not individual financial advice. We're all different, so some of this might not apply to your specific situation. Take what works for you, ignore the rest. If you're after individual financial advice, a financial advisor is always the best bet.